Sister Jackie said that she likes this song, so hope you get a blessing out of it. As the world looks upon me, as I struggle alone, they say I have nothing, but Lord, they're so wrong. In my heart I'm rejoicing, oh, I wish they could see. Thank you, Lord, for your blessings on me. There's a roof up above me, I've a good place to sleep. There's food on my table and shoes on my feet. You gave me your love, Lord, and a fine family. Thank you, Lord, for your blessings on me. Well, I know I'm not wealthy, these clothes, they're not new. I don't have much money, but Lord, you, and that's all that matters, though the world may not see. Thank you, Lord, for your blessings on me. There's a roof up above me, I've a good place to sleep. There's food on my table and shoes on my feet. You gave me your love, Lord, and a fine family. Thank you, Lord, for your blessings on me. There's a roof up above me, I've a good place to sleep. There's a food on my table and shoes on my feet. You gave me your love, Lord, and a fine family. Thank you, Lord, for your blessings on me.
Chapter 107 of the book of Psalms. There's a scripture that we're going to read tonight. The New Testament talks about, in the book of Matthew, the 25th chapter, I believe it is, he talks about how that the hungry, that sometimes when they are hungry, they really don't know if you're going to get food. This is in my words. But it really talked about, the Lord said, when you fed them, when you fed them, it was like you're doing it unto me. And he uses words, but it was like you did it to them, but really and truly, you did it to me. And what it really means is, there's a lot of times we might be helping somebody else along the journey, and in reality, we're doing it all because what the Lord has done for us. Because we wouldn't have done it. We wouldn't have done it if we were lost. Now, there's good-natured people that are lost. I ain't going to say that there's not. There are good-natured people that, oh, they'll help you and do everything. But the vast majority don't care nothing about no one but themselves. And sometimes giving food or giving bread or water to somebody that's hungry, you're actually doing a wonderful blessing that God says you did it unto me. And there's a little part that says, when saw we hungry? When saw we thee hungry? I want to read to you tonight about the strength of an individual. It's not about the food. In studying, if you ever put together in some study time, you'll figure out that when you talk about nourishment in the Bible, about being hungry, you'll always have thirsty go with it. I just seem like everywhere I've ever read it, hungry or being hungry and thirsty tie in together. And whenever you're hungry and thirsty, hungry is kind of like we have bread that comes from above. And whenever you eat that bread that comes from above, it's a different kind of eating than if you eat bread. Because when you're fed from above, it satisfies the soul. That hunger, that word that we read from satisfies the soul. It feeds the soul. I can be starving to death and read the Bible, and it's okay. But when God supplies that food in this Bible, it may not take care of the physical flesh, but it sure takes care of that spiritual. Whenever I'm thirsty, I can drink that water back there in the back, but it don't satisfy like when God feeds you that water that comes from above, especially that Holy Spirit, how it seems to satisfy the longing in your soul. Now, you don't get that from the world. That strength of hunger or that food and that water, that hunger and thirst, what God supplies satisfies. I want you to read with me. And I'm going to read a few verses, but I'll not hold you long. I promise you. I'll do my best to get us out of here early. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for He's good. His mercy endureth forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Boy, these are good verses, but we don't have time for them. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom He hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy. He gathered them out of the lands from the east and from the west and from the north and from the south. I want to focus on 4 and 5. They wandered in the wilderness in a solitary way. They found no city to dwell in. Hungry and thirsty, their soul fainted in them. May we pray. God, we thank you, Lord. Thank you for the privilege that we can gather together. Thank you, God, you love us when we're good, and God, you love us when we're bad. And I thank you for the privilege to be able to call me our Father, knowing beyond a shadow of a doubt we got a better place to go. I pray, God, tonight you speak to hearts. Help us, and we'll praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Verse 4, they wandered in the wilderness in a solitary way. They found no city to dwell in. Hungry and thirsty, their soul fainted in them. Whenever the scripture talks about this solitary way, I have to think about what that really means to me, what it means to me. It may mean something different to you. But I like it whenever we went over to the Holy Land many years ago and we were privileged enough to go to the Garden of Gethsemane. And it was, you know, it was a very unique place as far as just the garden. It was a very unique place, that olive trees and all that sort, and where it was located and all that, all those things. And they had a traditional site. That means they don't know where he knelt and prayed, but they picked out a spot and this is it, you know. But when Jesus went there on that night, The Bible said he took all of his disciples, you know, the one that was missing. But he took all of his disciples and he told three of them, y'all come a little bit further. Y'all come yonder with me. And then he kind of plants them in a spot and he said, I'm going to go yonder and pray. There's other things in it. But he went somewhere off to himself, just a little bit further. Now, he didn't go there. He didn't go there because he was in trouble. No, he didn't go there for that reason. He didn't go there for obvious things that we might look at whenever he prayed. If you remember the Bible, it said his prayers, them tears. Whoa, man, there were some things that happened on that particular night that cannot be repeated. Cannot. Because what Jesus did, he was not just looking out for himself. He was looking out for me. Because whenever he prayed, Father, not thy will. Not what I want. Not mine own will. But your will be done. Now, you just don't go and do what Jesus did. They can't be repeated. There was only one Savior, but what Jesus did, he had to get away. I call it a little solitary place. And whenever he got over to that location, he could get a hold of God. He could have got a hold of God anywhere, but there might have been distractions from them other disciples. He even got him away from the other disciples that might have been a little bit more distracting. I don't know. But I've been in locations where there'd be a whole lot of good people, but I've had distractions in praying, in other words. There's times when you need that solitary place. A prophet of the Lord one day. Prophet of the Lord. He had thought that he had been fighting the good fight. He had thought he'd been doing the things that God wanted him to do. And whenever he began to fight against the enemy kicked back on him. And they began to raise their voice. And he didn't know nothing else to do but go find him a cave. You know who I'm talking about. And he goes in that cave and he begins to inquire of the Lord. And when he inquires of the Lord, We might say, well, now the Lord answered in fire. And the Lord does answer in fire, doesn't he? The symbolism of fire and the power of that flame, that great light that comes from fire, that has a lot of spiritual meaning. God wasn't in that fire. Wind, that's a good one too. Wind, there's a lot of, when God breathed, man, when the powerful, mighty wind of God blows, man, it can move mountains. God wasn't in that wind. You see, when we think we're in a solitary place and we think we hear from God, friend of mine, sometimes God just knows how to speak. And sometimes when God knows how to speak, it's kind of like the Lord. The Lord could have prayed his prayer just right there in front of them disciples. But it wasn't none of nobody's business but God the Son and God the Father. It wasn't none of nobody's business what words was said. But whenever that prophet of the Lord was in that cave all by himself in that solitary place and it wasn't in the wind, it wasn't in the fire, but you know what God was in. God was in that still small voice. That communication, even to the prophet of the Lord, satisfied the prophet's need. In this particular passage, this one says, they wandered in the wilderness in a solitary way, a way that would have been very unique, very different because they found no city to dwell in. They found no city to dwell in. In reading the scriptures, there's some times in the Bible when God would allow the children of Israel to terminology almost crisscross in their path, go this way, that way. It was almost like they were going in circles.
They wandered around for 40 years. You can't walk for 40 years in an area as small as it was with so many people as it was and not march over the same territory. In other words, walk in your own footprints. And it would almost seem like it was wasted. It would almost seem like what I'm doing, am I wasting my time? Serving the Lord. Many times in our life, it seems like, where is the wind and where is the fire? It seems like, go, you stay here and you watch while I go and pray yonder. It seems like there's occasions when you seem to want to do good. But remember, sometimes in the feeding process, we think we're helping somebody else, but we're really just doing it, and we're doing it for the Lord. Follow with me just a moment. They were in this place, no city to dwell in, no area of comfort and of joy. Wouldn't it have been nice for the children of Israel to have them a home to live in? Wouldn't it have been nice to have been able to set up church? But no, they had to have theirs in a tent. But friend of mine, when Jesus come along in this world, Jesus told him others, he said, the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. You see, me and you, sometimes when we're journeying along the way, we don't know how God's going to speak to us. But God knows we don't always dwell in a city. In a city representing things, it represented like a home. It represented other people and their other activities. Sometimes we have a little bit of a desert walk to go through for the right reasons. For the right reasons. You see, God made the children of Israel wander for 40 years because of their unbelief. That was the right reason. You can say, oh, if they had not been so stubborn. You can say they were not being. What me and you go through in this life is for the right reasons, even though we may suffer. It's for the right reasons. It's for the right reasons that we go through hardships. It's for the right reasons that we go through sufferings that maybe we just say like, Lord, I can't handle anymore. God knows everything we go through. Now watch. Here at the point where it says they wandered in the wilderness in a solitary way, they found no city to dwell in. Here's their condition. Hungry and thirsty. Hunger and thirst for somebody traveling would be a common denominator. Children of Israel grumbled and griped and complained till they got quail. Grumbled and griped and complained till water come out of a rock. They were easy to grumble and gripe. It was easy. The manna began to be just, it was terrible for them, but they was glad to get it, and then they was not glad to get it. They get gathered too much, and God showed you don't gather too much. But watch this. Hungry and thirsty, their soul, not their body. Their soul fainted in them, not their body. They weren't hungry. There was not enough hunger. There was not enough thirst that their body failed. This was right here. They really needed God, and they really needed God. And the only way they could get God to bless their hunger and bless their thirst is to get their soul in the right condition. Me and you will suffer because of our spiritual condition. Our spiritual condition is more important than this bodily condition. Because the spiritual condition on the inside, without nourishing it, without letting God Friend, if the prophet of the Lord hadn't heard that still small voice, he would have thought God had left him because he wasn't in the wind and he wasn't in the fire. But God knew how to touch the spiritual condition by talking to him in that still small voice. And that still small voice answered his situation. You're not the only one. No, I got plenty of folks that hadn't bowed their knee. But what do I need? I need to make sure my hunger and my thirst and my soul is taken care of. Oh, hey, I'm not talking about the part that God, what God takes care of, I ain't got to worry about. What God takes care of, I ain't got to worry. Whenever I die, he's one that transports me. He's one that does all that stuff. I am just one of those that's along for the ride. But my spiritual condition right here is where the Bible said, Jesus said in the New Testament, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet. Now, that is the time for that communication to satisfy needs of the hunger and thirst. Because, friend, if you're not used to praying, if you only pray when you're in trouble, you're not satisfying the soul. No, sir. When you're praying because you've been in trouble or in trouble, and I'm not talking about trouble in the world. No, friend, you can just suffer through these troubles in this world. But I'm talking about when you're in trouble with God, you know you're in trouble with God. When you're in that kind of trouble and you go in that closet and you go in there to pray, that soul, that hunger and that thirst is still going to be there until you hear that still small voice. That's when the communication, not just from you to God, but from God to you. It's kind of like dwelling in the country. Whenever you dwell in the country and you dwell in the city. We just sung a song and it reminded me of some things. But when you're in the country, you can tell when you're close to people in the city. Because at nighttime, the glow of the city shines in the sky. And you don't have to see the city, but because of the glow of the lights, it shines in the sky. When you get into your prayer closet, there may not be no light around, but the glow of the glory of God will begin to shine your direction when you get it off of you and put it on to God. Because he'll never come to you in darkness. He comes to you in light. When we're hungry and we're thirsty, and we're hungry and thirsty in our soul, we're longing for something that provide. We can't satisfy. Don't you go to the refrigerator like I do and open it up and do like you did when you was a kid. Look and say there ain't nothing in there and it's full. Or the cabinet full. And you say, nothing. I eat a tater chip or a cookie or whatever else and that just don't work. I go through the whole cupboard. It just don't work. It's something that doesn't satisfy. God knows the first time what to give us. It's up to us to receive it. The hard part of satisfying this is for us to receive it. And here's what he says. Hunger and thirst, their soul fainting in them. And then verses 6, then, and only then, they cried unto the Lord in their trouble.
whenever I need something. It didn't specifically say their trouble, did it? Because God understands what trouble. Before you tell him, he already understands. I was reading the other night in another location, and I'm thinking, why did God do it that way? And I think, wait a minute, I know why God did it that way. He already knew the trouble before the trouble was ever made known. He already knew what he was going to do before they ever got in the mess of trouble that they was in. And God already knew what his solution that he was going to bring. And the solution that he was going to bring was going to be right. Now you think about that the next time when you go to pray. When you get a hunger for God, you're going to know he's going to have the right thing to say. When you was growing up, and if you ever went to your daddy, and you'd say, Daddy, I got a problem. And before you'd ever explain that problem, wouldn't your daddy have a solution? And it may not have been the one that you wanted to hear, but it was a solution that he was willing to share with you, and he would say something like this, you need to think about it. And in that thought process, you realized the direction that he was given, most likely, was right. Now watch this, and I'll hush. They cried to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them out of their distress. You see, I need time to be able to recognize that I'm hungry and thirsty. I need time. Churches in our world today has got way out of whack. Man, it's got way out of whack. It's got to the point where a lot of churches have just lost sight of what's spiritual. They just lost sight. Now, they can entertain with the best of them. Oh, they can. And they got the best show in town. But, friend, they've lost sight of what's spiritual. And whenever the fight comes, when that battle comes, I don't want the flashy neon sign. I want that deep, settled peace that comes from the Lord. And that'll stand when others will fail. Churches all across this land are fighting that. Well, whenever they're fighting because they're hungry and thirsty and they're not being fed. But when they cry unto the Lord in their trouble, he delivered them out of their distresses. I've been in the hog pen a few times in my life, literally. And in a few different times, I used to wear rubber boots. Because you know what a hog pen is. It's pretty tough sometimes. If you've never dwelt in there, dwell a time or two, you'll appreciate good life. But go in there with knee-high rubber boots and the mud be so rough, and you're trying to do what you got to do while you're in there, and I've literally pulled my feet out of the rubber boots just in the. And it's because you go too fast, and rubber boots come off, and there you are with a foot dangling in the air. And the boot is behind you. It's a mess. More ways than one. But the truth of it is, it wasn't nobody but you that got yourself in trouble in a hog pen. And it wasn't nobody but you that left your boots behind when you was in there, and now you're in your sock feet. And you say, woe is me. You don't say that, but you say, woe is me. But when you're in that situation that first time, you're mighty careful that second time. Because sometimes it happens that second time. And you say, how in the world can it happen? Ask yourself spiritually how it happens. Because you know to do good and do it not. The Bible calls it a sin. I don't want to visit another hog pen the day I die. I hope I don't never. The aroma, just all the wonderful things about a hog pen.
but I learned lessons about dwelling amongst the hogs. And I hope that I learned spiritually. There's times when only God can take care of my needs. It don't matter what else happens. God takes care of it. And see, sometimes I'm hungry just for God and thirsty what God will supply. Oh, thank God. Because He knows what you need. Scripture says before you'll ever ask Him. Before. I'm glad there's people that meet in the cave and had problems, so I know what to do. And I'm glad there's disciples that the Lord couldn't even go the whole way, but they stayed close enough. And I'm glad there's God that just watches over us. Thank God. He takes care of the hungry and thirsty about their soul. Let's have a song of invitation.